is your first time, then welcome for your first time ever hearing this show called 15 Minutes with Frank. My name is Frank. I'm a youth pastor in Milwaukee, and I'm good to talk to you for about 15 minutes about student ministry. If you haven't done so, like everything, you know, go on the Instagrams, 15 Minutes with Frank, Facebook, find us, go like us, 15 Minutes with Frank on Facebook. Make sure you are on the mailing list. If you go to frankgill.me, where this website, where this podcast is hosted, my website, on the opening page, when you go there, there's a big like silhouette of my face and a place to sign up for the mailing list. And when you do that, you get my book. All right. And also, we don't talk about this very often, but if you can do me a favor, go to my podcast and say nice things about me. If you know, go to my podcast and comment like, hey, this is a great podcast. Or, hey, I haven't listened to it, but Frank is very cute and attractive. And so, 5 stars. But if you don't like the podcast and you want to give like a 1-star review, how about you go to another podcast and just rant about how much you hate my podcast, right? So go to like, I don't know, some other podcast, probably something by NPR, and give it a 1-star review and say, let me tell you why I hate 15 Minutes with Frank. And really let them know why you don't like me. You know what I'm saying? But don't put it on my website. Don't put it on my podcast. Put it on the podcast that's like number 3 of all podcasts that has like a 4.3 rating that like your 1-star review won't even affect it. Don't put it on mine. Put it on theirs. Tell them how much you hate me. But for me, if you want to put something nice, help me out, do a little goodness in the world, go to my iTunes, Google Play, wherever you listen to this, and give me a 5-star rating and say, yo, I love the 15 minutes I get to spend with Frank every week. It's splendid. It's amazing. Hey, I'm going to get right into it. I had a fun weekend. It was a little challenging, but I have very special friends sit in and speak for me, but I was still at youth group, and so I want to share all the fun that happened there. This past weekend, I had the privilege of preaching in the main worship service. And it's, you know, as youth pastors, we're pretty much regulated to like Labor Day weekend and like New Year's. But in my church, so far, I've had 2 summer spots, which summer is rough for our context. That's a harsh statement. It's not rough for our context. But like one of our campuses is in a college district. Where like 3 colleges would go to this one campus, and so their numbers drop significantly when it's not the school year, and you know summer's vacation time, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm still speaking probably to close to, in the summer we're probably around 1,700 people, so it's like it's still way more than I've ever done in any other context I've ever been in, right? Like, it's pretty crazy. But this past Sunday, I mean, like, everything's in full effect. Even though it snowed, even though it was cold, I mean, I probably spoke between all 4 services and then the 2 simulcasted services, I probably spoke to over, like, 2,200 people. And so that's mind-blowing, especially at one service alone, there's, like, 800 in the auditorium. So, like, so I can't even fathom. I try not to think about it because I start to get like actual like anxious thinking about the amount of people who heard my sermon this past Sunday, as well as on the app. And I like, let me just pause for a second. Forgive me if that sounds braggy. That's not my intention, all right? I'm not trying to brag about how big my church is. I mean, some of my good friends who are these other youth groups, like they're preaching to like, you know, 300 kids a service just for the student ministry. So I'm not trying to brag, forgive me, but I'm this is a podcast where I share my feelings, my insecurities, and my this is my therapy session with you guys. And I'm just being honest when I say like I got anxiety thinking about the fact that over 2,000 people were going to hear my sermon at one time. It's something, I mean, literally, I'm going to share this. I haven't told this to anybody. You guys are like my best friends. I'm sharing this with you. I got dizzy right before my first service. And so like on days I have to preach in the main service, historically, since I was 23 and I got to preach in Tampa, like I have to remind myself to eat breakfast because I'll be so nervous, because there's something about me preaching to adults that's very uniquely different than preaching to students. And I remember right before the service, like I'm sitting there, it's the 9 o'clock service and worship is happening, and I'm like getting uncomfortable. Like I'm like, I might I might pass out. And then I'm just to remind myself, no, once I get on stage and I get to like say my first opening words, like, good morning, my name is Frank, like, it'll be okay. And sure enough, that was the truth. But I was nervous, and there was this like this anxiousness. And the way our services are set up is like the first three services in the morning, you basically, once you start talking, you don't stop talking. You jump from, I go to venue to venue, back to the first venue, and I'm just like talking my sermon all the time. And then I have a few hour break before I do my 5:30 evening service. And this gets to the point about what happened in youth group. So if you don't know, my youth group meets on Sunday evenings, not Wednesday nights, not Sunday morning. It's Sunday evenings. Doors open at 6, starts from 6:30 to 8:30. And so the way we have three campuses, and we meet, like, our youth group meets at the what we call the West Alice campus, the West campus. And our East campus has a 5:30 p.m. service. And so that campus is about 20 minutes away from the West campus. And so if that starts at 5:30, it'll end around 6:30. I probably would get off stage around 6:20, and it'll take me to about 6:45 to get back to West. And so just for the sake of me preaching four times in a row, I'm exhausted, I'm tired mentally, physically. I called a friend in to come guest preach. And I'll tell you about who that friend is in a second. But let me tell you about the order of service, because this is why we're all here. This is what we did last night or this past weekend. So the band still met. There's still a leader meeting. One of my volunteers, her name is Nancy. She's amazing. I gave her a list of all the things to talk about. She ran the meeting, gave all the announcements I needed to give. In fact, I also gave her some directives about certain students that needed to be addressed and all the other stuff. From there, the guest speaker came. He came in and he was like, you know, kind of brought to float of what our youth ministry is like. Sorry about that. And then around six o'clock, kids started coming in. Doors open, music is playing. Oh, I didn't say this. And so we had a parent meeting a week ago, and I was able to get the parents. And this is a big deal for us. I got the parents to fill out a snack sign-up sheet for the entire semester. So from now to the end of May, I have snacks lined up for the entire semester by parents. So like every week, a parent's bringing a snack. I am overjoyed by this. Like, I threatened the parents. I said, I have removed snacks from the budget in our youth ministry, and so I need you all to help me. And so they're bringing snacks. My threat worked, and now parents are bringing snacks for the whole semester. Hopefully they do. Otherwise, straight up, we won't have snacks one day because I'm not providing snacks anymore. That's going to be on the parents. So a parent brought the snack. It was great. It was like cookies or something. Then at 6:30, there was a countdown video. Then after that, we had our bad joke of the day. One of the best things, silliest things that we've gotten from the DYM store is the bad joke of the day. It's just a good opener to get people laughing. Then we do announcements. One of my leaders did the announcements, and the announcements was basically just Big Winter Weekend. That's our big thing coming up, our big winter retreat, D-Now kind of combination thing. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. It's been stressful because, you know, dealing with making sure I'm in budget and dealing with dealing with other people that are, you know, business people are sometimes difficult. I'm dealing with rental companies. I'm figuring out volunteers. I'm talking to Tripley's management. All that kind of stuff is kind of stressful, and it makes me kind of overanalyze sometimes what I'm actually doing. But I have to remind myself, this isn't the first time I've done this. It's going to be okay. And at the end, whatever happens at that event is exactly how we planned it. And so I'm excited for what our students have. They don't know what they're looking forward to. Like, it's going to be an amazing, amazing event. Then we transitioned to games, and we played two games. We played Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Cup, which I realized, like, a lot of youth groups played it. I'm pretty sure, like, I saw, like, two or three other youth groups play this game on Instagram, like, this past weekend. Like, a couple youth groups played Head, Shoulders, Knees, Cup. And that's the classic game where, I'll put it on, there's tons of people who've talked about it. I'll put a link on my website at frankgill.me. It's all you need is to divide the group up into pairs and have, like, a plastic cup. Suggested plastic cups, because your cups will shatter and break. And so if you get foam cups, you're going to have tons of trash on the floor. Plastic cups, they'll crinkle and they'll break, but they won't shatter into a bunch of pieces. That's a pro tip. And then we played a game called Pudding Partners. I actually can't tell you what that game is. I have no idea what they did because of a situation that happened When I got back, they were in the middle of playing Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Cup. And something happened that I needed to be pulled out. And I'll talk about that at the very end after I talk about the sermon. But so I don't know how the game was. All I know is that there was a pudding cup and a spoon, and they had to be in partners, and they served the pudding to the other person. But I don't know how that's like what the concept of the game is or what the challenge was. But that's what I do know. So with that, you think of your own game involving pudding cups, spoons, and partners, and then you think of the best game you can do with those items. All right. Then we transitioned to worship. And again, in the midst of this, I was not there for any of this because I was busy doing something, which I'll explain in a second. We sang Do What You Want To, More Than Conquerors, and Holy Spirit. And then we got to the message. And so we are doing the series that if you were a DYM member, you got this, got the series for free last month. But it's in the DYM store. I'll put it up there. It's called This Is Your Year. And you know, it's one of those things where, like, I knew I was going into Big Winter Weekend series season, you know, I'm focusing on that. I wanted something to kick off the year that I know I could just kind of like use their graphics, use their packages, and like just be able to focus on Big Winter Weekend without trying to do too much work of writing my own new series. So Sam Peterson wrote this series, and he actually lives in just outside of Chicago. And when I saw the series, I was like, oh, this is a good like New Year's series. And so I'm using it for my student ministry. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to be preaching that Sunday. I wonder if I can get someone to preach for me. But I really wanted to start this series. And so the way I figured it out is I called my buddy Sam, who wrote the series, to come up and preach for me. And man, it was like, I mean, like, it was like a no-brainer. He didn't have to write a new sermon. He wrote the sermon already, right? Like, he already has a sermon in his holster. And so he was able to come up and just preach the first sermon for me verbatim. And you know what? What I love about this is Sam is not the way I would preach. Like what he does is totally different than what I do. He doesn't have notes. He uses the Message Bible. He had really silly illustrations. He's much more like a I would say an Andy Stanley kind of communicator. And I'm not like that at all. But what I love about Sam is that he's different than me. And that, I think, was a good thing for my student ministry to hear a different kind of voice. You know, he's a skinny white guy from he's originally from Oklahoma, I think. But he's a skinny white guy, a little hipstery, and he's awesome. Me, on the other hand, I'm more of like a prophetic kind of a Matt Chandler kind of guy that kind of yells a lot. But that sounds actually a terrible example of what I am. But when it comes to student ministry, like I'm more of like, I'm going to read from the ESV no matter what, even if it's choppy. I'm going to be a little bit more exegetical and things like that. And it's totally, totally cool that Sam is different than me. And I loved it. What he did was great. He preached on Jacob and him trying to his marriage to Rachel and Leah. And he talked about the sheeps and it was just so, so good. Like, because the whole sermon was about vision, and he did such a good job. And I absolutely loved it. And my kids loved it. My leaders absolutely loved it. So it was cool bringing him up there. And I highly suggest this, man. Like, when you need a break, it's like first look inside. Like, if you're, like, preaching on a Sunday, you're like, I want someone to take the pulpit for me. Look inside. If there's anyone that is in your ministry, like, there's another adult leader that could, like, stand behind you in the pulpit. Or is there, like, another pastor? Man, if you have a pastor that can talk to you, like a senior pastor, an associate pastor, some other pastor on your team, that can, like, say, hey, can you come in and preach for me? Like, that's huge, because that's, like, showing that the youth is a part of the church, not just, like, this other church within the church. Does that make sense? And my pastors love, I have had my senior pastor, actually, I'm going to get my new senior pastor to come in. I've had my executive pastor, my campus pastor preach, and it's just been super, super dope, and I just absolutely love it. So Sam is a youth pastor. You know, he's not from the community. Like, he's not within the city. He's actually, like, 2 hours away. But, like, having other youth workers come in who, like, do youth ministry is a great idea. You know, one thing DYM and the DYM podcast, which, you know, hopefully DYM Podcast Network will happen soon. Hopefully they'll sponsor me in some way, because time's a ticking. I'm not getting any younger. You know, my voice is getting worse. So let's get this going. But One thing I remember the DYM podcast talked about once was, like, when you see another youth pastor that gets fired, what's a way to support them and love them? Well, get them to, like, if they're up for it, this might be, like, maybe the last thing they want to do is preach in a youth group. But, like, if they're up for it, like, maybe you have, like, some money you can throw at them, like, you know, $100 or something. You know, I don't know, something, at least a gift card. Have them speak in your youth ministry. Tell them, hey, no agenda. You preach your best sermon. Whatever it's like, that sermon that everybody has, that one sermon that, like, you know, like, they can preach it from memory. Ask the youth pastor, what's your favorite sermon? And then come in and kill it, man. No quorums, no agendas, whatever. But, you know, it's safe to do that because they got fired, right? Or they got let go or whatever. Like, you don't have that fear of competition. But I would challenge this. Like, I'm going to take this challenge on my own. You know, ask another youth pastor who's actively doing youth ministry. What if we did this? What if we did a youth ministry swap? Like, let's say there's two youth groups in town that both meet on Wednesdays, and you do a youth ministry swap where you swap youth pastors for that day. That would be a beautiful vision of unity and stuff like that. I think that would be amazing. Imagine if we did this across denominations. Baptist church and Methodist church, Presbyterian church and a Lutheran church. Like, we did across denominations and they're all, like, preaching each other. That would be a beautiful thing. Now, I've never done it. All I've ever had Sam come up. And he's just my buddy from DYM. But how amazing would that be if we did something like that? Well, anyways, I said I was going to mention this. Sam did a great job. I'll put his social media stuff. You should have him come out to speak. And if anything, if you can't afford him to come out and speak, get his resources. He makes amazing stuff for DYM. It's on the store. It's good stuff. He also has, like, really good, like, media packages that come with his sermons. That, like, that alone, even if you don't want to, like, I've probably bought more of Sam's stuff, not because of his sermons. That his sermons are good, but not because of his sermons, but because of his media packages. You know what I'm saying? Just get that stuff. It's good. So I've talked about this before. I have a kid on the spectrum of autism, and when he gets angry, he has these outbursts, and he's newer. He's only been in the ministry for about a month and a half, 2 months, and it was rough, apparently. So before I walked into the youth ministry, we were playing that Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Cup, and he was playing with another kid, and apparently, like, he thought the other kid cheated, and he went ballistic. And it was tough, man. Like, I know my leader said that, like, they tried to calm him down. He wouldn't calm down. And he, like, he has no problems with, like, cussing in the middle of the youth room. And so he, like, jet. Like, he got out of that room. And, like, we are okay with this. In fact, we have two spaces in the church that if he needs to get away, for him to have a safe place, he can go there. But, like, we don't want him to just run away and hide. We want to know that he's there safe. You know what I'm saying? We don't want him to leave the building or anything. But he has a tendency, you see, to, like, just run and hide, and then we don't know where he goes, and then we lose him, and then we have to try to find him, and then I think he likes the fact that we are, like, looking for him in that. And so I've shared this before with y'all, and I'm being sincere about this. If you have students, if I just described a student in your student ministry, and, like, you learned a way to kind of how to best walk alongside that, I would love to hear you. I actually asked Sam, like, do you have kids like that? And he said that he actually has three kids that are on the spectrum. Two are high functioning, but one can tend to be a disruption. And the way he's kind of built that relationship or managed that kind of situation is he meets with that kid once or twice a month. He goes to his house and play video games. I'm like, hey, there might be something there. You know what I'm saying? Maybe if I can have myself or one of my leaders go to where he is, play some games with him, so that way when he's in the student ministry, when we say, hey, no, you can't do this, can you settle down and sit over here, he'll be more apt to do it, as opposed to, like, these are just the church leaders. So we're working on this. I actually had a conversation with his mother today, because during worship, I was on the phone calling his mom, and I can't think of a time I've ever done that, call a mom to pick up their kid during youth group. I've never done that. And I know I'm blessed. I know other youth groups, other youth pastors have told me horror stories of fights and inappropriate stuff. And they had to call their parents and get kicked out. I had to call the mom because, like, he was not having, he was not calming down. Mom came, took him home. Everything was all right. It all worked out. But I ended up talking to the mom, and I think we have a solution. She's actually going to come in next Sunday and, like, we're going to go through with him and the other adult leaders, like, where are these safe spaces? What are the expectations? And how can we have a place where, because we want him there, but this is a little more challenging. And, like, it makes me think, like, we need more adult leaders simply so we can have one buddy with him the entire time. This might be a discussion that some of you guys are not having. And like, that's fine. Like, not all youth groups are going to have special needs students. And up until now, I never had a special needs student. You know what I'm saying? Up until now, I just had students that were not on the spectrum of autism. And then, to be honest, autism was something I've only seen through TV shows, and I didn't really understand like what the spectrum of that really looked like. And there might have been kids who had high functioning autism in my student ministry that I wasn't even aware of. But in this context, like, I'm really like seeing this student, and then like he just gets so angry, and like he gets rude. Like, he said like nasty things to me when I asked him to listen to me. He like just said like really mean stuff. But I want him there because I know, like, when he's some, like, even in the back, and he's fidgeting and playing with toys or whatever he's doing, he's listening because he talks about it with the adult leaders. And so God has him here for a reason. We want him there. We're working through this, and this is all a process. And like my buddy Justin Knowles says on his podcast, none of us are experts. We're just dudes. We're just ladies. I'm a lady. No, I'm not a lady. But like, there's lady podcasters, I'm sure, somewhere who are killing it. And so we are just people. We're just youth workers, learning and developing and processing just like everyone else. And I'm just here to tell you what I'm currently doing. And hopefully one day I can report to you like this worked. And if it works in your student ministry, that's great. But maybe something has already worked in your student ministry. And if it is, let me know. Email me, frank@frankgill.me. frank@frankgill.me. That's the most narcissistic email created on the planet. But it's a real email. So hit me up. Email me if you have any suggestions, thoughts, questions. Even if it's not about this subject, if you have any questions you want me to address in this podcast, hit me up, frank@frankgill.me. I'll put the link, the email address in the show notes. But hey, man, it's been fun. We're probably over 15 minutes. But I love talking to you all. It's a therapeutic for me. If you want to listen to my sermon, I'll put a link to my church's podcast or the sermon link, so you can the sermon link, so you can check it out. It's a sermon on Psalm 2 about it's a messianic psalm about Jesus being king. So it was fun. It was cool. I love preaching in main service. But with that being said, I'll see you guys next week. Hopefully, sometime in the next couple of weeks, I'll have some big news for you. I've been teasing this for weeks now. Had a meeting recently. Really excited. I hate talking like this. It sounds so pretentious. I have a meeting. Big things are happening, but can't talk about it. Ugh, forget me. All right. But with that being said, hopefully it'll happen soon. Until next time.